Amen. I love him too this morning, and I hope you do as well. And the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. And I'm thankful that when I didn't love him, he still loved me. And we thank the Lord for the privilege to be able to serve the Lord. And we're glad you're here this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of 1 Peter. The book of 1 Peter, chapter number 5. 1 Peter, chapter number 5. And one of the, really, if you've been in church any length of time at all, you've probably at least read this verse or heard this verse. But it's tucked right here in the middle of this chapter, written by the Apostle Peter at the end of his life. And Peter the aged, the old man version of Peter, is a little bit more mature, you could say it that way, than the young man Peter that you read about oftentimes in the gospel. And his words are a little bit more weighty, if you will. He seemed to have tamed himself down a little bit through some of the trials and some of the failures that he has gone through. And in 1 Peter chapter number 5, the Bible says here, let's read a few verses. Verse number 4, the Bible says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." And he's talking about those ministers who were faithful to feed the flock in the first part of chapter number 5. And he said, if you do that, that God will give you a crown of glory. Verse number 5, he said, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." And here's the verse I want to preach from this morning in verse number 7, tucked right here between all of these verses, right in the middle part of the chapter. The Apostle Peter said, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, while that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." As I studied verse number 7 and I pondered on it, and I developed some of these thoughts that the Lord has given to me this morning from 1 Peter chapter number 5, I could not help but go to the hymn that we often sing in our church services. It's a hymn that was written by a man by the name of Charles Weigel. Charles Weigel wrote the hymn, and the title of the hymn is "No One Ever Cared for Me Like Jesus." If you read that hymn or sing that hymn, he talks about how that no one ever cared for him like the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the way through there, it is a hymn that ministers to our heart and ministers through the words that God gave Charles Weigel way back in the early 1900s. If you study that hymn, you'll find that Charles Weigel was an evangelist. He was an old-fashioned preacher that God had used, and he had a wife and he had a daughter. He came home one day after preaching and ministering there with the call of God upon his life, and he came home to the grueling reality that his wife had left him with their only daughter. She abandoned him, and she had said that she did not choose the life of a minister's wife, that she no longer wanted to be married to someone who was in full-time evangelism. And so she left with their daughter, and he went into a very deep state of depression. It was said that he quit preaching. He threw down his Bible, closed his Bible up, and canceled all of his meetings, and stopped going to church, stopped going around God's people. He just went into this deep, dark depression. And it was there in that dark depression that finally he got enough courage, he got enough gumption down inside of his heart that he thought, you know, I probably just need to go to a church service. And he wandered on into a church service with a broken heart. One who had thrown in the towel and had quit on God and said, I'm not going to preach anymore. If this is what the life of serving the Lord has got me, I don't want anything to do with it. And he sat there and a man got up and he preached the word of God. And as he sat there in the pew as a born again believer, a man who had the call of God upon his life, he began to wrestle with the Lord and began to get some encouragement from the God that lived within inside him. And it was said that he crawled up on the altar there and he got right with God. And he said, Lord, I'm so sorry for letting somebody else contribute to how I'm going to serve you. And he gave that thing to God. And it was there after he got right with the Lord that he began to ponder on the words to the hymn that we sing, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. It was said that way down, years down the road, it was maybe 15 or 20 years later, his only daughter finally sought him out and came back into his life. They restored their relationship. Charles Weigel went on to write 1,000 plus hymns, and God used him greatly in the ministry of preaching and in the ministry of hymn writing. But can I say to you this morning, Peter said it the best. In verse number 7, Peter said, casting all your care upon him, that's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, for he, the Lord Jesus Christ, careth for you. Now, what does the word care mean this morning? You ever wondered what a care is? Can I say this morning that every single pew in here this morning, every single aisle or every single chair represents somebody that has a care? Every single person in here this morning, if you would be an honest, you would say, hey, I've got some cares in my life. A care is something that fills your heart or mind with worry. It's something that fills your heart or mind with fear or anxiety. Why is it that the Apostle Peter told us this morning that we should cast our cares upon the Lord? Well, if you look in the context of the chapter in verses 5 and 6, the two previous verses before verse number 7 where he tells us to cast all of our care upon the Lord for he careth for us. In verse number 5 and 6, he said, you ought to cast your care upon the Lord because it shows total submission to God through your voluntary humility. Look at verse 5. He said, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. And here's the reason why. You better cast it on the Lord and not carry it around yourself. Because you are to submit yourself. For God, look at what the Bible says about God. For God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Verse 6 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You want to know the reason why this morning we ought to cast our care upon the Lord, that we ought not to carry around the cares and the burdens of this life? Because this morning we are in need of the grace of God. And God will not give grace to those of us this morning that walk around carrying around our own care. The Bible said that we are to cast our care upon the Lord, that we are to submit ourselves one to another, that we are to humble ourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt us in due time. God cannot save a proud person this morning. If you're here this morning and you're lost without Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter if you are a religious person. It does not matter this morning if you have joined the Baptist church or the Methodist church or the Catholic church or you ever name whatever denomination you wanted to join this morning. It doesn't matter if you've done that. What matters this morning is have you submitted yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time because you fell down under the mighty hand of God and got saved by the grace of God. We need grace this morning. Anybody in here need grace? I need some grace. The Bible says that God resisteth the proud. A proud preacher and a proud church and a proud dad and a proud mom and a proud teenager, the Bible says, will be resisted by God. A proud father will take his children to hell. You say, why? Because he's more worried about himself. He don't want no preacher telling him what to do. So I ain't going to go down to that church where a preacher can open up a King James Bible and tell me what thus saith the Lord. By the way, we're not preaching our opinion this morning. We got black words on white paper, amen? We got 66 canonized books, 1,189 chapters. And this morning, you better cast the cares of this life upon the Lord, because you've got to submit yourself to God through humility. A proud preacher will destroy a church. A proud mama will create little girls that know nothing about submitting themselves to their future husbands. If you want God to get on the move in your life, you know what you got to do? Submit. You got to get low. Anybody that walks in like this, God's not going to do much for. You got to get low. That's why there's altars in a church, an old-fashioned altar. There's a reason why we design things the way we do. This is not coincidence that there's one man standing up on a pulpit that is elevated. It's not because this is a place of pride. It's because it's a place of authority. And the authority is not with the man. The authority is with the book. And we open up the book of God and we say, okay, what does God have to say to us? What are we are fanned out around one centerpiece, and that's this book. And we want to know what God has to say to you. Amen. And what God has to say to me. You say, what's the response? The response is, humble ourselves. When you get low, when you get there, just get a little bit lower. And when you get there, just get a little bit lower. And when you get there, just get a little bit lower. You ought to cast your cares upon the Lord, because you need to be totally submitted to God through humility. And then verse number 8, he says in verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Verse number 8, he said you ought to cast your care upon the Lord, not only because it shows submission, but you ought to cast yourself on the Lord because Satan is seeking to devour you and your family. In verse number 8, look at what the Bible says. He said, be sober. This is what Peter said. He said, be sober, be vigilant. He said, because your adversary, the devil, you see that this morning? As a roaring lion, he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Did you know this morning that Satan will use the cares of this life to weaken you? He will use the cares of this life to weary you. He will use the cares of this life to wear you down. You say, why? So he can devour you and your family this morning. You see, cares, they will intoxicate you. Cares this morning, they will keep you careless. Cares will keep you from where you're supposed to be. You say, what are we supposed to be? The Bible says we are to be sober and to be vigilant. The word sober means to be serious-minded. I'm a firm believer that when we come to the house of God, there ought to be an element of seriousness. In other words, we don't come flippantly. We don't come just, you know, we can take it or leave it. No, no, no. What's going on is very serious, because number one, we're coming to listen to what God has to say. But number two, that we have to understand beyond our spirit, physical eyes, that there is a spirit world that's going on. While I'm preaching this morning, you cannot see it, but there is a dark side. There is a dark world. There is a spirit world, and the devil is doing everything he can to keep you from listening. And he didn't just start this morning. He didn't just start last night. He started all at the beginning part of the week. You know how he did it? He did it through social media. He has desensitized the human mind from listening to what God has to say. You say, how has he done that? He has trained us through social media, through about 15 to 30 second reels. That's about the attention span of the average American now. They can't listen to a 45 minute sermon without totally their mind not being sober. not being vigilant because we have been desensitized by the God of this world. You say, where is he? He's got us right where he wants us. And you've got to be sober. You've got to come in and say, okay, we're going to have a good time. We're going to worship the Lord. But there is a real devil, and he's going to do everything he can to take lost people to hell and to keep saved people from hearing what God has to say. And he said, you know what you better do when you come? You better cast your care upon the Lord. Because you need to submit to God. You better cast your care upon the Lord, because the devil will use the cares of this life to get you out. I'm talking to a born-again Christian this morning. This morning, if you try to carry around your cares, they're too heavy. You can't carry them. Amen. And there's, hey, you say, what am I? You're a sitting duck for the devil. That's what Peter said, hey, you better get cast upon the Lord, because there's a devil that's walking about and he's seeking whom he may devour. You know what he's going to find? He's going to find somebody under the load of the cares of this world. I don't know what cares you got this morning. Cares come about in different packages. But he didn't want you to be spiritually watchful. He didn't want you to be alert. He don't want you to be sober-minded. He wants you to miss what God is trying to say to you this morning, because your mind's over off in la-la land somewhere. And the devil's walking about, and he's seeking whom he may devour. He's not looking for the strong Christian. He's looking for that weak one that's under the cares of this world. And he's walking about, and he don't take a day off. The Bible says he knows his time is short. The devil knows he's going to hell for all eternity. And so he don't play around like God's people do many times. Amen. He don't get sidetracked with his own little thing. He's got one agenda, and that's you. That's you, sir. That's you, ma'am. That's you, teenager. That's you, child. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, there's a real devil, and he does not want you to listen to what God has to say to you. He wants you to think that your religion's enough. He wants you to think that church membership's enough to get you to heaven. He wants you to think that you can bypass Calvary, and if you're a pretty good old boy, God's going to let you in. I got bad news for you this morning. You ain't getting there on your own good works, amen. And the devil's done sold you a bill of lies this morning. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by who? Me. Jesus Christ is the only way. So you better cast your care upon the Lord, because there is a real Satan that's after you this morning. That's in verse number 8. You know why else you better cast your care upon the Lord this morning? Because you're going to suffer in this life. Look at verse number 9 and 10. The Bible says in verse 8 that there's a devil that's after you. Verse number 9 and 10, he said, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that, look at this now, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. You say, why should I cast my care upon the Lord? Because you're going to suffer in this life. Nobody gets through this life without getting scathed. Every man, woman, boy, and girl, you're going to suffer. The Bible says it rains on the just and on the unjust. You're going to go through this life, there's going to be heartaches. There's going to be tears. There's going to be funerals. There's going to be desertion. There's going to be divorce. There's going to be premature babies that die. Listen, I'm telling you this morning, there's going to be much suffering in this side. You say, why does God allow suffering? To remind us this morning of how much we need Him. Somebody said, why would God allow us to go through that? The bigger question is this: why would God love you so much that He would send His only begotten Son into this world? The Bible said He was a man that was acquainted with grief. Amen. He was a man of sorrow. sorrows. The Bible said that he took upon him, amen, the iniquity of us all. You say, what's the problem of man in this world? It's sin, sorrow, and then death. Jesus Christ conquered it all when he came as the God-man. He lived 33 and a half years, and he showed us how to suffer like a man. You say, what did he do whenever he faced suffering? He set his face like a flint up Calvary's hill. The Bible says he bore his cross. He walked up that hill and he took it like a man. And he went up there and he showed us how to suffer. You say, what did he do? He opened not his mouth. And he said on the cross to that crowd after they had hurt him and after all that he had been through, he said to his Father, he said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. And when it was all said and done, you know what he said? It is finished. He said, what did he have to go through? He had to go through suffering. You say, he don't understand me. He not only understands you, he's been right where you've been. The Bible said he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. You say, what's the whole goal of suffering in my life? It's found in verse number 11. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You say, why should we cast our cares upon the Lord this morning? Because it shows that you are totally submitted to God. Because Satan is seeking to devour you. Because you're going to suffer in this life. But let's go back to verse number 7 and I'll give you a few things this morning. And then we'll be done. In verse number 7, Peter said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You ought to cast your care upon the Lord this morning because the Savior cares for you. Why would you carry the cares of this life when you got a Savior that you can cast your cares upon? Now listen, this morning, Peter knew something about it. As a matter of fact, he knew so much that when he got to the end of his life, he said to all of us, hey, just cast your care upon the Lord because he cares for you. No one ever cared for me like Charles Weigel wrote in the hymn, like Jesus. Can I give you a few of them this morning? Peter knew something about it. I want to say number one, Jesus cares about your pardon this morning. He cares about your pardon. Go, if you would, turn the Bible to John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1. I'll give you some Bible examples here this morning. In John chapter number 1, in verse number 35, the Bible says this. Again, the next day, after John stood and the two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? Verse 39, and he said unto them, come and see. By the way, that's what we're doing at the East River Baptist Church. We just want people to come and see. Amen. If you can just get here under the sound of the preaching, under the sound of praying saints, if you can get here and hear the old time way of singing the hymns, amen. You say, what do we want you to do? Just come and see. Come and see what the Lord's doing. And they came and saw where he dwelt, verse 39, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew. Look at this now. Simon Peter's brother. Now that's the man that wrote in 1 Peter chapter number 5. Verse 41. He first findeth his own brother Simon. That's the man who wrote it. 1 Peter. And said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon the son of Jonah. And thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation, a stone. Now the Bible says here that Peter had a brother by the name of Andrew. And Andrew found the Lord. He said, man, we have seen the Messiah. We have seen this man. Behold the Lamb of God. We found him. This is the one that the prophets preached about. This is the one that they told about. They said he's here. And old Andrew, he said, man, I got to go tell my brother. If I could just go tell Peter about him, amen, I believe he can do something for my brother. You know what Jesus did? Jesus did something for Peter. You can read several gospel accounts. If you go over to Luke chapter number 5, for sake of time, we won't go there. The Bible says that there was two ships that was there, Brother Terry. One of them was James and John, I believe it was, and the other one was Peter's ship. You know what ship Jesus got in? He got in Peter's ship. He stepped in Peter's ship, and Jesus said, Peter, let's come back from the shore for a little while. I got something I want to say to these folks. The Bible says that they sailed out just a little ways from the shore, kind of in the shallow part of the water. Jesus stood there and used that water as an acoustic system to speak so that all of them could hear him. And he spake the words that he wanted them to hear. And then he turned over and he looked at Peter and he said, let's launch off into the deep. I got someplace bigger for you to go, son. And they went off into the deep end. And Jesus said, I want you to throw your net on the right side. And the Bible says he obeyed the Lord. He threw his nets in. And there was so many fish in his net that literally they began to sink. They beckoned the other sailors. He said, man, come on. We need some help. We can't get all these fish in. And Jesus said to him that day, he began to talk to Peter, and Peter looked at Jesus, and he said, no, 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 Lord. He said, I am a sinful man. But you know what? Jesus knew who Peter was. Don't you know Peter knew how to cuss? I mean, come on, man. Before Jesus Christ, after he got saved, he cussed a little. Somebody say amen. He did. I mean, that was kind of his besetting sin. I mean, he blankety blank, I don't know the Lord. But before he got saved, before he met Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, don't you know, amen, I was coming out of blue streak. And he's thinking, man, Lord, I'm a sinful man. You can't do anything for me. But you know what he found out? He found out that he could. Because there ain't nobody that's too bad for Jesus to save. There's nobody too low for Jesus to reach down and pick them up out of the miry clay. There's nobody too far gone that Jesus cannot find them. Can I say this morning, Jesus cares about your pardon? If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I've already preached a little, but I'm going to preach it again. Jesus cares about you. He don't want you to become a Baptist. He don't want you to be baptized. He don't want you to pray a rosary. He don't want you to teach a Sunday school class. He don't want you to put on a shirt and tie. You know what he wants from you? He wants you to come to him as a wicked, undone, vile sinner, just like Peter did, and say, Lord, I'm wicked. Lord, I'm a sinful man. Lord, I cannot save myself. And when you do what Peter did, amen, he'll change your life just like he did Peter. And the Bible said that Peter got up and Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. And the Bible says that he got up and he followed Jesus. Will you do that this morning? Peter was probably a little religious, but he was still lost. Jesus cares about your pardon this morning. I mean, Peter could tell you about where he was when Jesus found him. And everybody in here that knows the Lord, you got a testimony of before Jesus found you and after Jesus found you. Jesus Christ saved Peter, changed his life, gave him something worth living for. You say, why should I cast my care upon the Lord? Because he cares about your pardon this morning. The pardon that you need from sin. One of these days, amen, you're going to stand before God. And if you stand before God as a sinner that's never received the pardon for your sins through the blood of the crucified one, the precious darling Lord Jesus Christ, you will have to go to hell for all eternity to pay for your sins. My friend, Jesus already paid for your sins. We sing the song, Jesus did what? He paid it all. All to him we owe. What will you do with Jesus Christ this morning? Jesus cares about your pardon. You know what else Peter would tell us this morning? He would tell us that Peter cares about your people. You say, what's your people? You ever heard somebody say, them are good people? Those good people over there. Amen. Them Smiths ain't good people. Amen. Zabrowskis, it's good people. You know what Peter would say? Peter would say, Jesus cares about your people. Let me show it to you. Look at Matthew chapter number 8. Matthew chapter number 8. Jesus cares about your people. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 14. By the way, this is one of the greatest verses. You see, there's nothing like a King James Bible that'll just knock your religious tradition out. Totally out of the park. This is one of the greatest verses in the Bible that teaches me that Peter wasn't the first pope. You say, how do you know? Look at it. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. Ain't no pope ever had a wife, and ain't no pope ever had a mother-in-law. But Peter's got a mother-in-law. Now that's a little side note this morning. But I'm telling you this morning, Jesus cares about your people. Because here Peter is, his mother-in-law is sick. Now listen, you talk about God's doing something that's a miracle when he's doing something for your mother-in-law. Amen. That's where you're supposed to laugh to make it a little bit lighter in here this morning. Amen. He said, Lord, my mother-in-law's sick. She's sick of a fever. Verse 15, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. And I say this morning, Jesus cares about your people. Jesus cared about Peter's mother-in-law. Some of you this morning, you have sick family. You got backslid family. You got backslid siblings. You got prodigal children. You got husbands that aren't sold out to God. You have a wife that's just kind of on the line. She's gone as far as she's going to go with the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. You say, what do I need to do? Just cast it upon the Lord. Give that thing to God this morning, because the same God that raised up Peter's mother-in-law is the same God that can work on your people. He can work on your family, whatever the situation is. And by the way, I know Brother Fabian's in here, and I'm preaching about how God healed this woman, how she stood up, she ministered. Sometimes God don't heal on this side. But can I say the ultimate healing is when God gives us a brand new body on that side. I don't understand that part about God. I'm just going to leave that business up to Him, amen? My wife has said many times this in the past year, she said, I wish I could call my mom. She's got a sister right now that has been praying that God would give her a child. And she got pregnant, and she's now pregnant with the first child. And she's saying, man, I wish mama was here so she could see the birth of their baby. But she ain't. I don't understand why God does that. Do we just let God be God? Some people He raised from the dead, and some people He didn't. You say, well, He raised Lazarus from the dead. Well, He died again. He didn't that time. But He's going to one of these days. One of these days He's going to raise all of us from the dead. The dead in Christ. If you're in Christ, you're coming up to be with Him. You reject Jesus Christ and die without Jesus Christ, you're going to live forever in a place called hell where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Why would you do that when there's one that cares, that you can cast your care upon Him, because He cares about your pardon and He cares about your people? Some of your people's messed up. Just give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. Some of you got children that's out, messed up in false doctrine churches, and some of them way, way out there. Siblings, spouses. Just fill in the blank. Messed up. We all messed up. We all got messed up people. You say, what's their only hope? Jesus. Amen. Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He cares about you people. Look here, Matthew chapter number 17. You know what else He cares about? He doesn't only, not only cares about your pardon and he cares about your people this morning, but in Matthew chapter number 17, here's another story about Peter. He cares about your provision. Here in Matthew chapter number 17, verse number 24, the Bible says, "And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, Doth not your master pay tribute? And he saith, Yes. And when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of the strangers? Peter saith unto him, Of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, Then are the children free. Verse 27, notwithstanding, I love Jesus. He said, Lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, cast an hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee." Now here Peter had a financial need. I mean, there was a need there in this day that the temple tax was due. And the Lord Jesus said, Peter, he said, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, I want you to take a hook. He didn't say put bait on the hook. He didn't say cast a net. He just said take a hook. Now to me, Brother Nathan, that's a bare hook. Because God's going to show that he don't need our help with anything. I want you to take a hook, and I want you to cast the hook out there in the water, and the first fish that bites the hook, I want you to reel it in, and when you take that fish, open his mouth up, right down inside of his mouth, there's going to be some money there, and it's going to take care of your need, it's going to take care of my need. You know what Peter would say? Stop carrying around the cares of the things that you need in this world, Brother Dwayne, and just give it to Jesus. Just give it to Jesus. Listen, everything I got this morning is from him. Amen. Listen, he's paid my bills. Now I know we got to work and we ought to do what we can do, amen. Somebody said work like it all depends on you and pray like it all depends on God. I like that. Amen. But ultimately, amen, if God don't give me a mind to work, I ain't going to be able to get it done. If he don't give me a body and strength, I'm not going to get it done. And Peter said, hey, you got some cares in this life. You got some financial burdens in this life. You got some needs in this life. Hey, Peter said, I watched God pay my bills. He's put clothes on my back. He's put food on my table. He's bought us cars. He's taken care of our medical needs and our debts and our houses. He's bought us tires. He's bought us plane tickets. He sent me around the world. You say, how does he do that? Because the Lord just says, I don't really need your help, Brian. All I need you to do is just cast the hook by faith into the water. I'm going to send me a fish up there. I'm going to give you some money in a real awkward and an unusual way. You say, that don't make any sense. That's as much of a miracle to me as Jonah and the whale. That the Lord had Peter catch a fish with some money in his mouth. Now listen, ain't nobody in here that's a fisherman ever done that and got a fish and it had money in your mouth. You say, how do you know that? Because if you had done that, we'd all know about it. Because you tell the stories true or lie when it's fishing time. And Peter said, cast your care upon the Lord because he cares about your provisions. You know what else he cares about? He cares about your problems. Look at Luke 22. We're coming into a landing here. Luke chapter number 22. Bear with me. Luke chapter 22. Again, these are all, Peter's the one that wrote it in 1 Peter as an old man. But I'm taking you back to the beginning parts of his life and his ministry. He didn't have it all together. As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter number 22, things have taken a turn for the worst in Peter's life. Luke chapter 22, verse number 54, man, look at what happened here. The Bible says, then they took him. This is talking about Jesus. He's getting ready to be crucified. And they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And look at where Peter's at. And Peter followed afar off. He's done backslid a little bit. Got scared. A little bit put off at the Lord for not letting him use the sword like he wanted to that day. Verse 55, and when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and there sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Who's that? That's the heathen crowd that's crucifying the Lord. Verse 56, but a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, thus, this man was also with him. They said, man, we've seen this guy with Jesus. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. Peter said, man, I'm not. About the space of 1 hour after another, confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he's a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. Look at what happened. Verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out, and he wept bitterly. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. You say, what does Jesus care about? I believe Peter tell you this morning that you ought to cast your care upon the Lord because he cares about your problems. Now, Peter was a man that had a lot of faults and he had a lot of failures. Peter was a man that was constantly putting his foot in his mouth. You remember what Peter said? Peter said to the Lord, he said, I will die with you and for you, Lord. He said, even unto death, Lord, I'm going all the way with you to the cross. I'll never deny you, Lord. You said, was Peter sincere? I believe Peter had a sincere heart. I don't believe that was just flippant talk for Peter. He done left his fishing boats and done left his nets and followed the Lord. I believe he had a sincere heart. And yet here he is. He's a little bit put out with the Lord because, you know, the Lord kind of rebuked him there, amen, and told him he didn't know what spirit he was. You know, put down the sword. You're using the wrong sword, Peter. I mean, Peter was ready to go all the way with Jesus. He had his sword out. And here he is. They done taken Jesus and he's going, you know, off to be crucified and all the scourgings that he's going to go through. And there Peter is. He's following afar off. He can see Jesus. The Bible said that they were within eye distance. I don't know how far away that was. 50 yards, 100 yards. He was just kind of following near and watching. No doubt his heart was scared and heart was broke. They kindled that fire there and he sets down. They come up to him and say, well, we know who you are. You one of them. He said, no, I ain't. You read some of the other verses there about the Lord, and the Bible said that he cussed. He said, I don't know the blankety blank man. Just remove all doubt from your mind now. I'm going to cuss him and deny him. You know what happened? The Bible says that Peter saw the eyes of the Lord in verse number 61. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Man, don't you know that just crushed his heart? As he saw the eyes of his darling Savior, the one that loved him, the one that took him in, the one that had saved him. He saw the Lord. The Bible says that he went out and he wept bitterly thinking, man, do I even love him? For 3 days and three nights, that's a long time, Peter sat there in the dark hour of the night thinking about how he had denied the Lord and had let the Lord down. When the Lord needed Peter the most, Jesus was there. And Jesus never failed Peter, but Peter had failed Jesus. 3 days and three nights, and on resurrection morning, look at Mark chapter number 16. You say, what does the Lord think about this? Look at Mark 16. Mark chapter number 16. His disciples go there to the tomb. Jesus has risen from the dead. In verse number 6 of Mark chapter number 16, or verse 5, and entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were frightened. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth that was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they had laid him. Look at verse 7. But go your way. This is what the angel said. Go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter. Do you know what he said? The Lord said, I want you to tell his disciples I'm alive. But go over there and be sure Peter knows too. Peter knows, hey, make sure Peter knows I ain't forgot about him. I know he's had some problems. I know he's had some struggles. I know he's let me down. But I got good news for you this morning. Jesus cares about your problems. And you go over there to John chapter number 21. Jesus had some plans for Peter's life. Over there in John 21, Peter's done quit. The Bible said, he said to that crowd, I go a fishing. You know what they said? We going with you, Peter. You quit, we're quitting too. Jesus had already appeared to his disciples three times. He would appear and then he would withdraw himself. He would appear and then he would withdraw himself. Peter said, I'm done. He's out there in his fishing boat. The Bible says he was naked. I believe he probably had on some shorts, no shirt. The Lord said that was nakedness. He had too much uncovered. I mean, he wasn't standing there in his birthday suit, Adam and Eve style. But God said, you're naked, Peter. You got to get your fishing coat on. And the Lord, they said, hey, that's the Lord. We know that voice anywhere. And Peter, the Bible says he took his fishing coat, he put it on, and he cast himself into the ocean. He didn't want the Lord to see him that way. And he went up there on the shore there, and they had all them fish. You know, the Lord, the Bible, I think it was 156 of them fish. And the Bible said, the Lord said, come and dine, boys. We're going to eat. And he's sitting there with his disciples. And you know who Jesus is singling out once again? Peter. And three times he asked him in John chapter number 21, he said, Peter, do you love me? And then he said, feed my sheep. And then he asked him again. He denied him three times. He had to ask him three times. Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, thou knowest. Peter, do you love me? You see, Jesus knew that Peter never stopped loving him. We all fall, we all falter, we all fail, we all mess up, we all carry around our own burdens. And Jesus said, Peter, I know you love me, but you don't know that you love me. And I got to make sure that you know in your heart that you love me. Lord, thou knowest. He said, then feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. And all of us this morning, we have some little lambs and some little sheep that God's given to us, not just as a pastor, but as mamas and as daddies and grandmas and grandpas. You love the Lord? The Lord said, feed my little lambs. Be sure you follow me together. You know who God chose two chapters later? John 21 is the last of the Gospels. The next book in the Bible is Acts. Acts chapter number 1, Jesus goes away. He said, I'm going to come again. They're meeting in the upper room. He said, I want you to tarry here till you be endued with power. And the Bible says, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses. And it became preaching time there in Acts chapter number 2, the day of Pentecost. Do you know who Jesus Christ, God the Holy Ghost, God the Father, all three, do you know who he chose to be the preacher that day? He didn't choose John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. He didn't choose any of them other fellows. You know who he chose? He chose Peter. Peter stood up that day. The Bible says that he preached and 3,000 men were saved on the day of Pentecost. You say, what does God expect of me and you? He expects us to do like Peter. When we mess up and when we fall, just cast our care upon the Lord. I wonder this morning, have you forgotten that Jesus cares? Have you forgotten that you ain't got to carry around the burdens and the trials of this life? And at the end of Peter's life, in 1 Peter chapter number 5, Pentecost was many years ago. The denial was many years ago. And now Peter, here he is in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7. He said, hey boys, hey girls, hey men, hey ladies, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Miss Christie, if you come to the piano this morning, we're going to give an invitation. You say, what's the invitation this morning, Brother Brian? I wonder how many of you this morning need to take some cares that you're toting around in this life and come down like Peter did at the feet of the Lord Jesus and cast them at His feet. He said, what do I do? There's the old-fashioned altar here. You can make an altar in your pew. But I'd encourage you, stop carrying them around. Some of you this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ. You're lost. You're going to hell when you die because you're carrying around the sin that you cannot pay for. Aren't you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Aren't you sick and tired of just trying to be religious, trying to do a little bit better, trying to do what you can do? Listen, the Bible says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Why don't you take those cares, place them down at the feet of Jesus Christ, and let Him wash you whiter than snow? This morning, if you'll turn to God and receive that precious, darling Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your personal Lord and Savior, He'll save you today. Then, child of God, why don't you give it to the Lord this morning? I'm going to pray, and the invitation is up to you. I've tried to preach the truth. Now, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? It's all up to you this morning. I'd encourage you to cast it on the Lord. Father, Lord, I've tried my dead level best this morning through the power of the Holy Ghost to preach on the subject of no one ever cared for me like Jesus. And Lord, I pray this morning if there's those in here, and no doubt there's many in the auditorium this morning that needs to be born again. It's never been saved by the grace of God. They're carrying around their sin debt. And this morning I pray that you'd help them to have enough courage to come down here and talk to myself or one of these men, maybe some of these ladies. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help them to come and get the eternal destination of their never dying soul settled through the salvation through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, for the children of God in here that's carrying around burdens, carrying around cares and weights, I pray this morning, God, that you'd help them to do what old Peter said, just cast them on the Lord because you care for us. And Father, have your will and way in the invitation now. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano player comes this morning, the altars are open. Many have already come. If you're here this morning and the Lord spoke to your heart,